This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey, everybody, it's Jessica, and I want to talk to you about TikTok and the First Amendment, because this is a question I've been getting a lot, which is there is a bill that is moving through the House of Representatives, actually at lightning speed, at least for this Congress, and the bill would allegedly ban TikTok. And so I'm getting a lot of questions about whether or not that would infringe on our First Amendment guarantee of free speech. So some of you may have heard about this idea for a while now because former President Trump actually talked about banning TikTok until a few days ago when he said we shouldn't ban TikTok. But it's an idea that we've been floating around for quite a while now, in part because TikTok is owned by a Chinese company, ByteDance, allegedly with, let's say, affiliations with the Chinese government. And so that brings up certain questions of national security. And what the federal government here is really arguing is that TikTok poses a threat to our national security because the Chinese government could use its laws against ByteDance. Again, that's the company that owns TikTok, and maybe force it to hand over data about us, American users of TikTok. There's also the fear that that information could be used for a disinformation campaign, for propaganda campaigns, even allegedly to identify intelligence targets. So there are concerns here by the federal government that because we use TikTok, it could allow the Chinese government to threaten not just our privacy, but also our national security. And so that's the backdrop against which we're talking about this proposed kind of ban, but not a ban. So let's talk about exactly what the bill would do. It would give TikTok about half a year, a little less than half a year, to separate from its Chinese-linked parent company, as I said, ByteDance. And basically, if they're not able to divest, if they're not able to sell, then app stores in the US would be barred from hosting the app on their platforms, essentially barring us from downloading and using the app. And it would also create a process for not just the Biden administration, but other presidential administrations to say, it's not just TikTok, but there are other apps that should be banned because they're controlled allegedly by foreign adversaries. So who are we talking about here? North Korea, Russia, Iran, and of course, China. So this obviously will face a First Amendment challenge if the bill does become law. And so we need to talk through exactly what the government is arguing here. So first, the federal government says it's not a ban. It just offers TikTok a choice. And it says, basically, ByteDance needs to sell. And if it doesn't, then you can be banned from our platforms, from being sold in app stores. The second argument is that maybe the First Amendment isn't really implicated here. So there's a potential argument that because TikTok is just hosting other people's content instead of pushing its own view or perspective, maybe the company itself isn't entitled to First Amendment protection. I'm not sure that helps a lot here because we as the users still have a First Amendment right, meaning the First Amendment protects not just the right to speak, but also the right to hear. And what the Supreme Court has held back since 1965 is that Americans have a constitutional right to receive even foreign propaganda, even, of course, if the US government doesn't like it. So maybe the First Amendment is implicated, but we shouldn't view this as a ban on speech. What the next argument here is that the government would say, this is really about conduct. It's not about speech. And the argument here is that because the ban is based on restricting app sales and internet hosting services for TikTok, that the government should be able to say this is aimed at commercial transactions, meaning conduct, not at speech itself. And what the government will point to, I think, is a 1986 case, again, another Supreme Court case, where the court said that New York could close an adult bookstore that New York claimed was a prostitution hub. So this doesn't end the inquiry, though. If this is conduct and or a commercial transaction, not speech, we still have to, meaning the court, still has to make sure that this law is constitutional. But it applies something called a lower standard of review, a more of an intermediate level of review. And what the government would have to prove here is first that there's an important government interest. I think that's probably satisfied with national security and privacy concerns. The second thing is the government would have to show that the law is narrowly tailored. And here's where I think there's going to be a lot of argument about whether or not the government could have done something else, like pass legislation aimed directly at our privacy or directly at national security in a way that doesn't raise First Amendment concerns. Now, what do those challenging the law say? They say that this has the ultimate effect of censorship, that even though it first gives ByteDance an opportunity to divest, that's really just a fig leaf, and that we should view this as a ban and, in fact, something called a prior restraint on speech. Prior restraints on speech are viewed very, very skeptically by the court, and the government would have to show that this particular law could pass something called strict scrutiny. So instead of intermediate scrutiny, it would have to show that there's a compelling government interest instead of, for instance, an important interest. Maybe we're still there based on national security and data. And they would also have to show that there's no other means, there's no other way to accomplish this goal. And again, here what challengers are saying is pass nationwide privacy laws that regulate how all companies handle American data. Now, one other precedent that I think will be brought up here is a 2017 case, one of the first cases where the court is really tackling this question of social media and the First Amendment. There, the Supreme Court struck down a North Carolina law that prohibited registered sex offenders from accessing social media websites. Now, does that case absolutely help the challengers? I think it depends on how the court decides to read that case, because that case obviously was just about individual users being banned from social media, whereas here we're talking about a prohibition on a company instead of an individual user. So there are ways to distinguish that case. All of which is to say, I think this is a fascinating First Amendment question. Obviously, it's one that I think is going to come up in a variety of different ways moving forward. And what I want us to think through is, you know, is this a ban at all? Are we really talking about speech? Whose speech? And what level of scrutiny should we use here? So that's a quick primer on this question of TikTok and the First Amendment. I hope it's helpful. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. We got some new ratings recently. Very grateful for those. And I hope everybody has a great day.